So the new Xbox One is coming out. And is this a sea change, or, I mean, these don't happen very often. How many years has it been since the last time you had a major hardware upgrade?
Yeah, I mean, the Xbox 360, tremendously popular. You know, we have over 75 million units out in the field. And so it's been almost 10 years, Larry, and it's really been interesting because the world 10 years ago is completely different, as you know, technologically, than it is now. In terms of people, you know, smartphones, always connected, social media, there's a lot of differences, and we've taken a lot of those cues and built them into Xbox One.
So you're sitting there with a brand new Nokia phone. I've got a computer that came out just a few months ago. Why is it that in the gaming world, and in the rest of the technology industry, we pretty much have annual upgrades, if not more often. Yeah. Why does the gaming industry lag so many years?
I think that there's a lot of reasons. It's kind of the blockbuster thing in terms of the blockbuster games. We certainly have these great games on the mobile platforms and computers, but with consoles, they're optimized, up until this point, they were optimized to do one thing and one thing only, and that was play games, high-def experience games that you play in your living room or your game room. And it took developers a few years to kind of get the tools to unlock it. So that's why that traditionally is how it was done. And so that's why.
But, you know, the PS3 is what, been 7 years between revs, and you're saying 10 years between major revs. Is that going to change? Are we going to see a more frequent upgrade cycle in the future?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, but I can just tell you with Xbox One, the way we designed it is, and you'll know this, and I'm sure your listeners will, it has multiple virtual machines. So we can actually do a lot of fancy upgrading with the existing machine. So that's why we say it's built for the future. In addition to being connected to Xbox Live, it's tremendously flexible. We designed the platform to be really flexible to do exactly that.
So I'm going to get into Xbox Live in a minute, but let's just start to talk about the difference between the new generation Xbox One and the one that we have in our living room.
Yeah, the Xbox 360. Sure, there's a lot of difference. Certainly it's more powerful. The graphics are better. But we tuned Xbox One for today's gaming, meaning certainly high def, certainly better sound, and so on and so forth. But it's also the fact that you can instantly resume a game, just like you can on a mobile phone. You know, you're taking a phone call, you want to get back to your Angry Birds or your other game. Now you can do that with Xbox One. You can instantly get back to the game. The system turns on in 13 seconds, signs you in and turns you on in 13 seconds. Completely unheard of 10 years ago, but in today's modern consumer expects that. When they turn their phone on, waiting 13 seconds takes forever.
And one thing that you're doing that's different from 360 and different from Sony is you're bundling Kinect. Every Xbox One is going to have Kinect.
Absolutely. We really believe this is a brand new version of Kinect. It was tremendously successful the first time around, but this time around, we've built it into the system at a really low level. So now there's voice commands. Xbox on turns on the system. You can tell it, Xbox, Bing, show me movies with George Clooney, and it will automatically parse that out and using the search engine will show you what's going on. Not only that, but it also has a beautiful array microphone to hear you. It's got a 1080p camera, so you can do Skype, living room to living room Skype. And it also has brand new high resolution tracking, so we can see, the system can see your heart beating, can see your digits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beating.
It actually uses a lot of the different technology. It can see the blood moving in your face.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really
medical applications for this?
Well, we're certainly hoping. We've seen some low-level, really simplistic medical applications with the original Kinect, and we expect in the next version of Kinect, once we open it up to PC users, that's exactly what we're going to say.
And so by bundling, that means the developers can assume that anybody with an Xbox One has it. How important is that for developers?
That's tremendously important because instead of thinking, well, gee, maybe only 10% of the audience is going to see this particular feature of a game, now they're guaranteed that every single person has Kinect, and therefore they can do a really interesting thing. Some things I'm seeing right now with our launch titles, Dead Rising 3. Because we have Kinect has an array microphone, when you're playing Dead Rising 3 as a zombie game, you can say, hey, come here. The zombies all turn and come to you. So you're seeing that. I'm seeing games where Kinect can sense the light in the room. So perhaps when it's darker in the room, you're going to get more zombies. When it's lighter, maybe you won't see as many.
Wow, that's amazing. And tell me a little bit about the non-gaming, because this is really a living room console. It's not just a gaming machine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we talked about that a little bit earlier, things have changed so much. When Xbox 360 launched, there was no Netflix streaming. There was no HBO Go. There were none of these really tremendous, great video applications. So we designed Xbox One to be able to handle that. So it certainly has great games like we've been talking about, but it also can run all these great, amazing applications like Netflix and like HBO Go, and you can instantly switch from one to the other.
Instantly switch from what, like HBO Go to Netflix or back to a game?
Yes. You can do all of those. We designed the system so that you could instantly go from a game to, you can watch live TV. It's the only next-generation game console that has HDMI in. So that means it will work with your existing satellite or cable box, and then you'll be all set.
So Can I use Kinect to call up a television show?
Absolutely. You can say, Kinect, watch ESPN, and it will switch to ESPN. Whatever. You don't even need to know the number. You just need to know what you want to watch.
We've come a long way since the VCR with a blinking light, right? That nobody knew how to program?
Nobody knew how to program at all. And I was thinking the other day, remember VCR Plus? Remember that technology? Yeah, we've certainly come a long way with that. And now you're able to kind of shout out commands. You can even say, because Kinect is also an infrared blaster, you can say Xbox mute, and it will mute the television. Xbox volume up, it'll turn the volume up.
So let's talk about Xbox Live, which I know is your bailiwick. Yeah. What's new and exciting about that?
Yeah, Xbox Live is really the backbone of the entire system. We designed the system to be connected to Xbox Live, and we're seeing that gamers want to stay connected in different ways. So one of the ways is certainly we've got a following model, just like Twitter. You know, you can follow people. A lot of people will be following me or yourself on Xbox Live. But we've also enabled new scenarios, again, using all the elements of the platform. So you're playing a racing game like Forza Motorsport 5 and you had a great turn. You can say, Xbox, record that. It then records the last 30 seconds. Yeah, and uploads them to Xbox Live. So you don't even have to think.
Can I do that in real life?
Tell me, I wish I had an undo, really, a control Z. But yeah, you can do things like that, and then you could share your clips out. So there's a lot of opportunities, again, using Kinect and the power of the console connected to Xbox Live that enables scenarios like that.
So I tend to think of Xbox Live as a gaming platform, but I know it's more than that. So talk a little bit about beyond gaming, what Xbox Live is doing.
Yeah, certainly. Xbox Live, as I said earlier, is the backbone, but it certainly is the best multiplayer gaming experience for console gamers. But we also have a full movie way of Xbox music and movies and television. So you can, just like iTunes, you can watch everything on your television in high def right there in your living room. So it's really a suite of services. It's gaming and entertainment as well.
Speaking of that, tell me your integration into other platforms such as tablets and smartphones.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got this feature called Smart Glass, which some games and our movies will use. And that works with your existing device. You don't have to buy something else. So we work with iOS. We work with Windows phones. We work with Android tablets. And that enables experiences on games that kind of brings it to that second screen. So perhaps you're sitting there with your roommate or your wife or your boyfriend, and you can actually perhaps help them out looking at the map of what you're doing. Or one of the games, like I was telling about Dead Rising earlier, using Smart Glass, the in-game characters call you on your phone using that Smart Glass experience.
And then I also got a demonstration. I can't remember the name of the game it was, but they had these little game pieces that had their own memory.
Yeah.
And so this notion that you could go to a friend's house and bring something with you that contributes to the game. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's certainly, we're seeing a lot of that with Disney Infinity and Skylanders, which are a couple of games. Yeah. So that's a great, great example. Skylanders is a great example where, it kind of bridges the gap into the real world from the virtual world. And you put them on a little portal and it impacts the game. So I can go to your house, and if I had a character you didn't, I'd put it on your portal and it would impact the game.
And then what about continuing the game on a mobile device? Sometimes you don't have access to your Xbox One and your TV. Yeah. Is there sort of an extension away from home?
Some of the games are doing that, and what we found out is that gamers certainly want to take their game with them, but they just don't want to have the same exact screen shrunk down for a lot of different reasons. The horsepower of Xbox One exists there, not on your mobile phone. So it's how can you stay connected? And how can you stay connected? Maybe you're helping maybe you're helping your team in a multiplayer by spotting things, doing some real simplistic things on a phone that the touch interface really contributes to. So a lot of our developers are doing things like that. The other thing we're doing, we talk about Xbox Live, is when you're driving Forza Motorsport 5, the system learns how you drive. And then suppose you and I are on each other's friends list, when you go to play a game and I'm not around, my drivatar now is in your game. And it's, instead of playing against the AI, you're playing against me.
Wow.
And it learns how I drive.
So I'm playing against the way, so I can still beat you.
Right.
Or not beat you.
Virtually, whether it's real me or virtual me.
That's amazing. And then, Apple is very proud of the fact that there are a lot of games that run on the iOS. I know there are a lot of games that run on Windows mobile devices as well. Do you look at mobile as a threat at all? I mean, there is this notion that people are moving away from consoles to mobile, yet you and Sony obviously are very big on consoles.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly see it as it's an adjunct. Of course, with iOS, with Android, and with Windows Phone, that's why we created a Smart Glass. And that Smart Glass is really what we want to do, is we want to take the right experience for for a high-def game experience and bring it to the phone in the right way. So I think it's really complementary, and we want to find out with all these connected devices that are out there with the phones, how can we have those people and those individuals, when they're not in front of their console, contribute in a meaningful way to the people that are. So this is always around the always connected devices.
So the scenario is December 22nd, it comes out, $500, $499, if I'm mistaken, comes with Kinect. So it's, so if you're comparing it to the $399 Sony, it's important to know that, right?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the roadmap.
Yeah, so November 22nd it comes out. We're really excited about that. Certainly it's a premium product. Comes with the Kinect and all sorts of comes with a headset and the controller and the console itself. But beyond that, we're just looking for great gaming experiences. And what we're going to continue to do over the next, you know, through the lifetime of Xbox One, much like we do with Xbox 360, is innovate. We innovate in terms of the console. The console that Xbox 360 was and ended up and has ended up at the end of its life cycle, one would argue, is completely different with introducing all the new services. And so that's what we expect to see a lot of that, because we don't know what gaming is going to look like in 3 to 5 years from now. So, but we've designed the console to be expandable.
Larry Herb, Microsoft, Xbox Live, Xbox One. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry.